You're listening to the Self-Made is a Myth, Make a Difference Together show with your host, Coach Tim Campsall, where we talk with successful business owners to hear the stories of their journeys in building their successful businesses. And more importantly, we recognize the folks who help them excel because we know that achieving business success is not something we can do on our own.
Hello, everyone. This is Coach Tim Campsall, and I'm excited to have a fellow business owner from Indiana with us today. My guest can walk into a room with strangers and leave the room with acquaintances, which is an awesome skill to have. In her downtime, she enjoys reading books that teach her how to do new things or learn something new, and she's most proud of her ability to recognize triggers and redirect emotions immediately, which is an awesome ability. So it is my pleasure to welcome India to the show today. Hello, India.
Hello, thank you so much. This is amazing, I'm excited to be here.
Well, hey, let's start with having you introduce yourself. So tell us your full name and a bit of your personal story, like where you were born, where you live, about your family and hobbies.
Great. So I am India Brown. I am a born and raised Hoosier, born in Indianapolis, raised in Indianapolis. I'm married. I have three children. They're all adults. So I'm also an empty nester. I am definitely proud of all of the accomplishments that my children have been involved in. I have a daughter, my youngest daughter is about to graduate Ball State. So the oldest daughter graduated from IU, one from Ball State. So we're excited. We're excited to have her embark on that journey with her. I guess a lot of things that I enjoy doing is around learning. If I'm learning something new, I'm growing and I feel good every time. I do have what I like to call my little bad habits. I do like to watch a little bit of crazy television too. Like a little weird stuff on TV. I'm unfortunate or fortunate to say I love some of the Housewives shows.
So All right, well,
hold it against me, but it's a little fun fact about me.
I was going to ask you to tell us, but you just volunteered, so that was awesome. Yeah. India, what's a funny story that your family likes to tell about you that you'd be willing to share today?
Oh my gosh. So when it comes to my family, we're very competitive in the game space. Like we play games on all holidays. And then when we get together to have family dinners. So I'm very, very competitive with my own daughter because she's been raised in it. So now she's like, let's get the trophy. So I would say one of the funny stories is, I don't know if you've ever played a game where you wrap up inside maybe an item, you wrap it around with like tape or you put something really cool on it and you have to unwrap it like 27 times before the timer goes off. Well, I'm a sore loser. So if I've spent 30 minutes unwrapping this thing and my timer hits and I'm right there at it, oh my gosh, Tim, I'm going to fight to get it back. So they will tell you the story of how I was so angry that I was doing that job diligently and the timer got me right to the end and I had to pass it along and I cheated. I kept it because it was mine. I worked for it.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Hey, tell us, how did the business come about and at what point did you have the confidence you could run your own business?
So I worked in corporate America for a little over 14, 15 years for an organization and I was doing project management there and I loved it. They were definitely a sponsorship for my abilities to learn new things. They encouraged me to take classes and leadership. So they were really a stepping stone to help me build on my professional development. So that helped to build my confidence. I worked there for 13 plus years and promoted 6 times. So after the last promotion, I just felt like I'm doing a great job here. I loved it, but I really needed something more. And so with all of the knowledge and, you know, all of the professional development skills that they were building in me, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to take this and go on and do this on my own. And I talked with a lot of consultants who worked with me, a lot of vendors that I worked with and partnered with to try to make sure I could set up a platform for myself once I decided to take the leap. So I wasn't one of those people that worked full time and did this on the side. Once I jumped in, I jumped into the deep end of the ocean and I used my own knowledge, skills, and abilities that I developed while I was working there, and leadership skills, all of those things I took with me. And I just knew that it was something I needed to do for myself. So I left and I didn't look back. I just kept pushing forward no matter what challenges I faced. I knew that I had something to offer in terms of knowledge and skills, and I wanted to build on that. So I did.
What a great story. Well, tell us a little bit more about the company. What's the name? What do you do? How do you help folks?
So the name of my corporate business is Brown Design and Workflow Creations. So LLC. With any entrepreneur, right, you jump out there, you need a business name, you need to put your business structure together. No one really tells you, like, put together a name that fits on a card, or put together a name that's like small enough to work with. They just tell you to come up with the name. And so I did that. At that point, I was working on process flows, process design, workflows, things like that for training and development for groups and organizations who I was getting projects with. So it made sense to name my business that. Yeah. And as I evolved more into getting more business around project management, I realized that I kind of did a little injustice to my business name by not kind of thinking that through. So I developed a new business name and did a DBA, because I think having the corporate company just allows me to add different lines of services. Yeah. So doing the DBA for PM Phase, PMPHASE, all one word, it really is project management phase. So the play on that was all around project management. The first three letters are PMP, which is a certification that you get as a project manager. So you can see a lot of thought went into that.
Yes.
So I work in PM Phase is a project management consulting firm. So what that means is that we bring in project managers from different industries to work with our clients. So whether you're in the legal industry, you're in construction, or you're in IT, we have a project manager that fits that space. And so my background personally and professionally is in healthcare. I've worked in the healthcare IT space. So I began taking on projects in the healthcare IT software application. So working with physician groups, hospital systems who were either replacing, optimizing, or completely getting rid of or implementing new applications, I worked with those groups. And then I realized that I needed to bring on more project managers in different industries. So I started working with the law firm to do their data management system. So having someone who specializes and understands data management in that industry, and then working into the construction space, understanding the general contractor and what that space looks like. So then it just evolved into that, and still growing, still looking to reach into other industries.
Fantastic. So for everyone listening, DBA is doing business as, so that's your safety net. When you realize that the original name doesn't make sense anymore, you can come up with a DBA instead, and you just register that with the state, and you can start using that as your outward communication. So thank you for sharing that. For everyone listening also, go check out the company. We'll have it listed in the description, in the comments, and go visit India on her LinkedIn and let her know that you watched her interview.
Yes.
So share a story where someone pushed you or inspired you that you could do it, and maybe even when you didn't think that you could, and the impact that person had on you.
I always say this story, or tell this story about mentoring, because when I first jumped into that ocean, again, no life jacket, I don't know what was happening. I knew how to do what I know how to do, right? I know my skills. I know what I know. What I did not know was how to run a business. And so, you know, I realized that I was kind of you know, going through this process, worrying about getting business, but not really knowing what to do with the actual business I was starting.
Right.
I could take care of the clients, but I was not, from an operational standpoint, taking care of my business. So mentoring is what I thought, okay, I need to check into it. I had not thought about mentoring professional mentors or any of that. But there was a lady who had already been working in the space. And, you know, I always tell people this story. I jumped into the ocean, and about 6 months into that, I was in shark infested waters. That we were so behind financially, it wasn't even red. It was burgundy at that point. And so she really talked me through how to navigate what I needed to do to be a business owner. She pushed me to gain the confidence in the business space. My confidence and skills were there, but confidence in how you run a business literally did not exist. So having that mentor, she was very, very brutally honest with me. She'd say, you are doing this wrong. You're not really paying attention in the space of contract negotiation. You're not paying attention in the space of being able to assess what it is your value is that you're bringing, so that you're getting paid and your expenses are, you know, this X and your income is Y. It's not working. You need to get better. So I actually had started and finished up my master's program. So I had a baseline understanding. I have an MBA. So I had a baseline of the tools. What they don't tell you is, what do you put in these tools? I know what, right? I know what a profit and loss is, but what goes into it? I know, if I know the word and I can tell you what it means, but how do I actually apply the true knowledge? So she was able to help me do that. I would not have survived without that mentor walking me through and helping me. So I would always advise people to find a business mentor. And I needed her in a specific area. And then I found another mentor where I needed her to help me develop leadership skills. I was already a professional. I went through professional development, went through leadership courses. But I think what I was missing was aligning my leadership skills to run a business,
right?
Not just to satisfy the client and be there for them, but to run a business.
Yes. Well, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing. This is a thing that every new business owner goes through, because the school system, even as you mentioned, right, getting our MBA doesn't prepare us to be a business owner. It prepares us to be an employee. So the education system is designed to create employees. So when we decide to start a business, we're an expert at our art or our craft or our trade, but we have no idea how to run the business. And there's no, there aren't, you know, there isn't really a class that says, here's how to, to run a business, until you find mentors or coaches or programs like that to help guide and direct you through it. So I'm so happy that you were able to get the help that you needed and be able to, you know, find those solutions and best practices into the business. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what's been your biggest learning as a business owner?
Be prepared. I in no way was prepared for the amount of growth that my business was going to incur. So not only learning how to run the business, I was not prepared for the growth the business was going to take on. So as I learned more about strategic planning and managing out the business as a whole, finding, again, the space where we deliver services, becoming the leader in the business, the visionary in the business, the growth did not see it coming. So a big learning lesson was to do better forecasting. Even with strategic planning, I think I started off doing year to year, and now I kind of focus on the growth that expands beyond that 5-year mark, because it gets there before you know it. And so I was just like, I was not ready for this. So I think being better prepared for growth is definitely a lesson that I learned. It wasn't I've got to get a recovery plan in place for that growth. It was just, I wish I had prepared for it and not working through it in it.
Yes. Well, there are a lot of things that we learn real time as business owners, right? And then we reflect back and go, I wish I had known that earlier. But part of the journey is the fact that We just have to learn our way through it. Now, to your
That's
earlier
true.
point, if we can find a mentor or a coach or somebody to that's maybe a few steps ahead of us, it can be helpful to have that voice and that second set of eyes and ears to talk through it. But the reality is that, you know, there's always going to be some things that shift and pivot and change that we didn't anticipate. But absolutely, we need to have a plan. We need to know, you know, what's our long-term plan of what does our business look like when it's done? And what's the 3-year, the 1 year, and even quarterly, what are the things that we need to be working on so that we know we're moving towards our long-term vision for the organization.
Yeah. And I think that's hard to see when you're working in your business, right? It's you've got to be able to step outside of your business and look into it so that you know where those opportunities are that you need to start making plans for. And I think that was a challenge too, is stepping outside of the business to look into the business.
Yeah. It's so hard as business owners to get out of it, right? And not just get wrapped up in the day-to-day. So one of the things we have our clients do is once a year, we do an annual, you know, realignment meeting, which is reimagining, right? What's the long-term plan? What's the 3-year plan? What's the annual plan? What's the quarter plan? Because a lot can happen in a year. And then every quarter, we bring our clients together to do quarterly planning. Again, get out of the office for a day, you know, come to an offsite location where you're not going to be bothered and distracted and build your plan. Think, you know, have that strategic thinking time to be able to map that out.
Yeah. And I think that's very important. I do. I think that I had to learn to do that though. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, again, into the business, the growth is happening and I'm in it now trying to figure out how to adjust to the growth. Yeah. So I have a better perspective now and understanding that I've got to step outside the business so I can really prepare for the growth and then plan for additional.
Yeah. And because the reality is the day-to-day stuff is never really going to stop. So it's not like the business is going to say, oh, well, we're going to slow down for a couple of days so you can do some strategic planning.
Yes, yeah, that is so true. It keeps moving. The train does not stop at all.
Yes. So yes, we have to be proactive and say, I am just going to take this day out of the office and do the things that I need to do working on the business instead of in it.
Yes. So yeah.
Well, we know that business success doesn't happen in isolation. So tell us about one of your biggest challenges over the years and maybe a fellow business owner or a colleague that came alongside you and helped you through that.
You know, I think when I first started, I really utilized heavily the knowledge and expertise of the consultants that I had met who eventually became friends and who supported me throughout the first few years as I was trying to figure things out and work in the business. I think today I find that networking and being a part of organizations has definitely grown my space where I can lean on people while making connections and contacts. But I think for me, when I network, the first thing I do is try to be intentional about finding those people or that person who I can relate to, not just on a business level, but personally, because I think when people know you, it's so much easier for them to come alongside with you. So I've met several people like that. One lady, I love her to death. Is it okay to say names?
Of course. Yes, please.
So Akila Darden, she is our city's like construction guru. But you know, I did not learn construction from her. I intentionally set out to meet her because I thought she was a phenomenal woman. And what I got from her and what I've gained from her is the ability to show up. Akila shows up. And you know, while I'm there, the difference is show up and be present. So she's helped me to navigate what showing up looks like. And then reading the room, you know, what did you come into this space to do? So she's been an amazing person who's come alongside me to help me again develop some professional leadership skills. I've met some phenomenal women along the way, some women that don't know that I've been watching and mirror some of my own actions after them. I could name several CEOs of organizations that I've met, and they don't know that they've kind of modeled what they're doing in their business. And then I've kind of taken it and tweaked it a little bit to work a little bit for me. But I've met these women and they're amazing. The other thing, I think I've met people in tech. I work in IT. And so finding someone that is a woman that works in tech, those groups have really helped me to understand what being in tech really means for a woman. So coming alongside me and me coming alongside them to help understand how we actually need to support each other working in a space that's predominantly, and I mean predominantly, filled with men. And so I think organizations that I've joined have really helped me meet the people that I've come in contact with to support me. And then personal friends. I have a friend, Holly Frierson. She's really helped me in a space where I can personally stop internalizing when failures happen, stop internalizing things, right?
Yes.
Like she's always like, listen, you know, let me fill your cup up. Because I think, and you probably know as a coach, your job is to help others and to get them to a place mentally where, you know, they are able to run their business. But then who fills your cup back up, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's what Holly does for me. When I'm filling other people's cups, she comes in and fills mine.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I actually say to prospects that when they're looking for coaches, I said the first question you should ask the potential coach is if they have a coach. Because if they're not drinking their own Kool-Aid, if they don't believe in the value of a coach, then you probably don't want to hire them.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I mean, again, because you're right. Like, where do you get your, and I always use the term cup filled because I love that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who fills your cup back up, right? Yeah. I think every coach needs a coach. I love that.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because it's always easier to see an issue or a problem in somebody else's business. So I can be, you know, pointing out things to my clients throughout the week, and then my coach points the same thing out about me, and I'm like, oh no.
It is, because we don't see it in ourselves. We can see it in others.
Yeah. We're too attached. We're too emotional. We're too close to it. Yeah.
Yes. I think finding organizations that can support you in different ways, I think it's been helpful for me to bring people alongside with that I can feel comfortable with, right? That you can be okay being vulnerable with that person as you pull them alongside with you to help you navigate, whether it's personal or professional.
Yes, absolutely. And you started to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome, right? So, right, there's lots of times where, you know, something doesn't go the way that we thought it would, or it was harder than we thought it should. And we can start having self-limiting beliefs and, right, and doubts and fears and negative self-talk. And if we don't capture that and take a hold of it, it can suck us down into a hole. Now, the reality is, right, it's not what we all read and see on social media. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not that everyone else has it all together and we're the only one that doesn't. But nobody, of course, is going to tell, you know, social media that they're struggling with something. So yes, when we can find a network of people who are going to be real and honest and go, oh yeah, I'm struggling with that too. There's just this sense of relief that we're not alone.
It really does. It makes you feel like not only are you not alone, but it does help you to, before you go deep into that rabbit hole of imposter syndrome, you've got people around you that can help you get to a place where you don't have to go into it at all. It's so funny. We were just talking about imposter syndrome too. And I think what we identified talking to some of the other women, Is that it happens most of the time when you're moving into higher level positions, executive positions, right? You'd be surprised at how many VPs and CEOs, CIOs feel that imposter syndrome, and they're running organizations. But I think it happens mostly there because you're in those positions and people are looking to you for the answers. They're looking for you for direction. They're looking for you to tell them when something happens, how do we fix it, right? Yeah. So of course it lives there because you're supposed to have all the answers.
Yes, yes.
So it's scary. It's
very lonely at the top. Right. When we're in a more junior role in an organization, we always have a manager that we can go to bounce ideas off of, right? And think it out loud and get some guidance and direction. But the higher we climb, when we own our own business, right, there's nobody to be able to ask those questions to and bounce those ideas. So yes, it can become harder to feel confident when everybody's looking to us to give them the guidance and direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's when the importance of your network comes in to help you and support you.
Yeah. So India, I'm going to put you on the spot here and ask you to pick three people in your business owner journey that you're most grateful for them being there to help with your growth. So who are those three people and how they help you?
let's see. So, oh gosh, it's so challenging because there's so many people, right? Like, how do you?
I said
say
I was
going to
put you on the spot.
So I can say, is it going to be fair that I may not remember some of their last names because
that's okay.
I'm trying to go back to the beginning and then move up to the front. So I would say one of my very first people, again, she was awesome. Her name is Jamie. She worked with me when I worked in corporate America. Then she left, became a consultant. And then I reached out to her. She was that supporter that helped me swim through shark infested waters.
Yeah.
Jamie was awesome. I don't know that I would even know half the stuff that I know today about a lot of things if Jamie hadn't jumped in.
Yeah.
So I have to give her credit to the start. And then as I navigated through, this business, man, I think as I transitioned into project management, there was a lady, oh my gosh, see now my mind is blanking. I think I wanted her to be my mentor. She was one of those people that she was doing the project management thing. She was on it. And she was kind of like, no, I'm not in the space to do that for you, but I will help answer questions when you need them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to call her out because I feel like she'll be like, oh, but she was phenomenal in answering questions, but just didn't have the capacity, I think, to take me on as a mentee.
Yeah.
But she helped me in my project management space. She helped me to understand the tools I needed. I was doing great. I think what I lacked was the ability to manage projects as a leader. I think I was managing projects and going along with it. But as a project manager, your job is to lead that project and show that you're leading it. And she gave me that. She gave me the tools that I needed to be able to do that. But I don't want to call her out in a mean way.
No, I think it's actually very smart of her to know what her capacity is, but still gift you some of her time in answering
she
questions.
Did.
Awesome.
She did. And I appreciated that. And I guess the third person, my goodness. See, this is really hard because I think they don't know that sometimes they're doing this. But I guess if a person, again, came side by side with me and helped me along my business journey, oh God. This is hard, Tim. Why was that a question? And I know I looked at them before, but in my mind, I didn't think about who I should call out. Because there, again, there's been so many. I don't know. I guess I would give credit to, oh God, is there, can we come back to it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And it is a fun question because, you know, obviously there's been more than three. So it's intended to just be a little bit of a acknowledgement of that, right? Of, yeah, there's way more than three people typically. And this show's all about, right? The fact that it takes an army, right, to be able to have to build a successful business. So yeah, if some other people come to mind as we continue, just interrupt me and give those folks a shout out.
Okay, I will do that. Let me just think about who I can call out without upsetting someone else.
So as you think about the next 1 to 3 years, what's the number one point of growth or challenge that you see that you're going to need to work through in order to achieve your goals?
I think the number one priority, I think, for me achieving goals is making sure that I am functioning as the visionary, the CEO that's the visionary in this business. I think I want to constantly keep hands on and be in the nitty gritty of it all. And I think I have to focus more on stepping into that CEO visionary. What are we going to do to get the business beyond me?
Yes.
And growing that out. So with hiring staff, bringing on staff and delegating out those responsibilities and not consistently being the face to that client that I bring on, but allowing my team to step in and take on those actions. So that's a big part of what I need to do as a priority, is stepping into the CEO and being the visionary.
Yeah. What a great acknowledgement and understanding of that. It reminds me of what we call the entrepreneurial ladder. So, you know, we all were employees at one point in time, and then we go out and start a business. We become self-employed, or we've just simply bought ourselves a job where we're trading our time for money. And right, we get the work, do the work, get the work, do the work. Then, you know, then we hire some people to help us out. So we become a manager where we're still, you know, we're still in the day-to-day, we're owner operator, but we've got some people to be able to give the, you know, some of the work to.
Yeah.
The next jump to what you're saying, you know, becoming what we call a true business owner, you referenced it as the CEO. There's a significant mindset shift that has to happen because once we've built our business to be successful, it becomes our baby and it's hard to let go.
That's true.
But then we become the bottleneck and the business can't go beyond our capacity. So I love it. That next tier of getting the people and the systems in place to be able to run the day to day and be able to elevate into that CEO role is absolutely, you know, paramount in order to take the business to the next level and be able to scale it.
That is true. I think then the next thing, I guess, for me would be to learn the whole process of growing your business internally. So how you don't need to be the marketing person. You do not need to be the social media person. You don't need to, I'm not an accountant, so I don't need to be my own accounting CFO person. So really growing internally that team that has the extensions. So I've started the process. I don't do my own accounting. I realized that a few years ago. I hired an accountant. And I'm working through the HR process, bringing on an HR company to manage the growth that I want to have. So that would be the second thing, is growing internally and making sure I have the correct extenders to help support a team that I'm building.
Fantastic. Well, last question here. Jim Rohn, amazing business guru, says that we become the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. So as you think about that, what advice would you have for business owners who are trying to do it on their own?
I would say the first thing is know the difference between what you know in knowledge and skills and what you know in managing a business. Do that self-assessment, do that business assessment, because I think that we don't realize that it takes a lot to be a business owner. And I'm not one of those people that I do crafts. I don't have the talent in arts and all of that. I have the knowledge to offer a professional service, but I did not have a lot of the knowledge to build a business. So I would say try to look at those two spaces and make sure that you're putting forth the work to get to make them both successful. Even with all of the skills that I feel like I had as a project manager, you know, like I said, the one project manager who I said, hey, show me how to do this, I didn't realize that even with the knowledge and skills, I was still lacking. So I needed to really learn that. So I would tell any new business owner, separate what you think you know from yourself in terms of knowledge, skills, and abilities, and then what you know about building a business structure, what you need to have aligned up to make sure your business is sustainable and intact, what pieces might be missing to make sure your business is going to run effectively in your operations. So make them separate, even though they're both on the same journey and make it going toward the same goal.
Yeah, I love it. We reference that, and it's a common terminology of working in the business versus on the business, right? So most people have the skills of working in the business. That's why they went into business for themselves. But as you've explained a couple times during our conversation, most people don't have the expertise of working on the business.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have a name now.
All right.
Well, the third name of a person who I think has been definitely instrumental in helping my focus today and who's really helped me to understand what it looks like to be the CEO or just the business owner and running a business. His name is Emil. He is the CEO for InnoPower.
Oh, yeah. I know Emil.
Yeah, isn't he awesome? And let me tell you, I've learned so much from him from a, I guess, from a point of view of think broader. You know, I come with him and I'll tell him, you know, these thoughts. And then he's like, India, well, what's the bigger picture? So he helps me to think beyond the one problem I'm trying to solve. He's like, think about the bigger thing that caused that problem.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, is that so I can do that. So Emil has been very instrumental in helping me to think critically. I'm already a critical thinker, but think critically on a higher scale.
Yeah.
And so that I can solve problems, not one piece at a time, but solve the bigger problem which will eventually solve the smaller problem.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like you've been blessed with some incredible people in your business owner journey. If they were all here today on the show, what would you want to say to them?
Thank you. And please don't go away. I need you still. I appreciate them, though. In all honesty, I appreciate all the support that I get from people who are my mentors and people who don't know they are, but I model some behaviors after them because I see them. And I think that's important for all business owners, including myself. I appreciate them being okay with the fact that I can watch what they do, even if they can't talk me through it.
Fantastic. India, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. This has been so much fun. I appreciate it so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Made is a Myth show. Please help spread this movement by liking and subscribing to our show and following us on Facebook and LinkedIn. To join our movement, go to bemadtogether.com. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Please pay it forward and be sure to tune in next time to the Self-Made is a Myth podcast.